Turn in your booklet to page 15. I think it's page 15 this morning. I think it's 26 for you leaders. And Galatians chapter 5, please, this morning. Galatians 5. We're going to look at the struggle that the Christian has between their flesh and the Spirit this morning, as we just saw in the verses there. Hope the verses are a blessing to you. Hope you're trying and endeavouring to commit some of them to memory. Galatians chapter 5, let's read verses 1 to 4. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. We're looking this morning at the struggle that we have as Christians between the flesh and the Spirit of God. The flesh is that inner drive within you that wants to just do exactly what you want to do. Now, sometimes there's actually no harm in doing exactly what we want to do, but often it's not profitable to us. The Spirit is obviously the presence of God living within a Christian's life, and it's an influence for good. So we have our own desires. We have the Spirit of God dwelling within us, trying to lead us the way God would have us to go. But following that, rather than our flesh, takes faith, because it sometimes isn't what we would have thought of doing ourselves. And following our desires can seem like just the obvious choice, what we want to do. But there is no freedom in doing exactly what you want to do. Now, on the face of it, that doesn't make sense. But one thing leads to another. When we want to do exactly what we want to do, it's usually on the spur of a moment. It's not a considered decision. It's something that, it's like the kid at the shops with their mum. They go past the lolly aisle, and suddenly the kid wants a lolly. It's a spur of a moment thing. They didn't walk into Colesworth wanting lollies, they were just helping mum with the shopping. But now they've seen the chocolate at the cash register, or they've seen the lollies in the aisle there, and they suddenly, that's what they want. There's no considered thing. Now, we would say that, well, what's the harm in lollies? But we also know that it's not actually good for us. It's just pleasant to eat chocolate or something minty. Following our desires takes no effort either. And it's no freedom to do that is just bondage. Bondage to self and selfish desires and desires that are only thinking about me. How are other people affected by the choices I make? Because if I'm just wanting to do what I want to do, eventually other people are affected by them. As a child in somebody else's home, it's affecting your relationship with your parents, perhaps. Because you want to do what you want to do, doesn't matter what mum and dad want, I want to do what I want to do. But that doesn't always go down so well, does it? And they give us what we want, perhaps, instead of not giving us what we want. And then how do we feel about that? Then are we in charge? Those of you that rule your home through your own fleshly desires. Are you in charge or mum and dad? Now that's one end of the scale. Out in the world, the guy that hangs out with his friends on a Saturday night at the pub, goes out for a drink after work on a Friday night. That's pretty normal in Australia. But one thing leads to another, and the buzz that he was getting Friday night and Saturday night isn't there as much. But there's a guy off in the corner that has caps. He's seen other people buy it. So maybe that'll give me the buzz back on my Friday and Saturday nights. So he starts taking what's termed as soft drugs or recreational drugs. What? Just so he can get the buzz back, because that's what he wants. But one thing leads to another, and he doesn't have the same, a month or 6 months later, he doesn't have the same feeling again. But he wants that feeling. And he can enjoy the weekend, so-called, by going out and doing the same on Sunday as well. Then I can do it more. But the buzz isn't there. It's not like it was. But the same guy in the corner has got other stuff. Cocaine, heroin, other things. He says that it'll give me a buzz, so yeah, try that. Who's in control here? One guy's handing over the money for this stuff, but is it his thoughts? Is it his emotions leading him rather than an actual plan? This is what I should do? Or just this is how I feel? He's not in control of the choices he's making. I mean, he is responsible for the choices he's making, but he is not, he's being led by his feelings. Very quickly, he's an addict to these harder drugs. And he's going out Thursday night as well, because he only has to get through Friday at work, and then he can go right through to Sunday, get through Monday at work, and nobody said anything yet at work. They've got a term for that. The word addiction is in the term. But they call it a functioning addict. That's laughable. Who's leading the show? Is it the guy in the corner, maybe? Yeah, he's holding down his Monday to Friday, 9-to-5 job. But he's not functioning at his job. He's barely scraping through. And he is not in control of his life. This is a recognized thing in the corporate world, even. Now, that's the extreme end of our flesh taking us where we don't want to go if we knew where we were going to go. But it's the same as anything else. Any other fleshly desires that we have are going to lead us away from where we should be going and lead us into bondage. That guy is not free to make his own choices. He cannot not go on Friday night and buy more gear from the guy in the corner. He's an addict. He needs the stuff to be able to function. Who's ruling his life? Probably the guy in the corner. Yes, that's the extreme end, but it's the same. Any addiction or fleshly drive that is pulling us in a particular direction, it's no different. It's controlling our lives in just the same way as we would expect an addiction to control our lives. And we are no longer in control, and we are no longer at liberty to make the choices that we want to make. And we think that we're in control, but actually we're in bondage. Bondage to self. Bondage to whatever great ideas pop into our mind on the spur of the moment. And the more we listen to that, the more extreme our ideas begin to come. God says here, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. We don't need to be in bondage to self. We don't need to be held up and constricted by self. We can be free. Christ has made it possible for us to be free. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless our time in your word. Speak to our hearts, give clarity of thought and of explanation, Lord, we pray. Work, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. The Jewish Christians, in this, Paul uses in verse 3 and 4, the example of the Jewish Christians who were looking back to the law. Because to them, their life had up until then been constrained by the law. And if they did this, they were righteous. And if they did this, they were righteous. And if they didn't do this, they weren't righteous. And there is some security in having everything laid out. Some of us are more comfortable when things are just so, right? And some people can get too They call it obsessive compulsive. You know, everything is just so, and then I've got my life in order because everything's exactly right. But then if something changes because life isn't stable, they're thrown by it. These Jewish Christians were thinking of feeling more comfortable in the law rather than the liberty to not live according to the law. And they were starting to trust in the fact that, yes, I believed in Christ, but I was a Jew too. And so, of course, I'm circumcised and I followed all the other legal requirements of a Jew. And so I can trust in that as well as Christ. Kind of like the Catholics trust in the Mass and other things. Anything in addition to Christ, verse 4 is telling us, makes Christ of no effect. If I'm trusting in Christ, I'm trusting in Christ. If I'm trusting in Christ and a life raft for my salvation, then I'm saying Christ wasn't enough and therefore he's not enough. If I'm trusting in Christ for more than, if I'm trusting in anything more than Christ for my salvation, then I'm saying he was inadequate to provide salvation for my soul. Instead, Paul says we should stand fast. If you trust in that, and for them that was a fleshly desire to trust in their Jewishness. But we can trust in, maybe not our Jewishness, but we can trust in our goodness. Of course Christ saved me. I'm a good kid. I trust that it's all going to work out. Well, no, you're trusting in something in addition to Christ. And he uses that to illustrate this idea of the fact that we are at liberty through Christ. We don't have to trust in anything else. There's an Old Testament illustration of this used in chapter 4 and 5 that we're going to look at this morning. Tail end of chapter 4 into chapter 5 uses this illustration of Abraham and his wife Sarah, Sarah's servant lady, Hagar. And it uses Sarah to illustrate the spirit and Hagar to illustrate the flesh. Look in verse 21 of chapter 4, Chapter 4, verse 21. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, or you that desire to trust in your flesh, do ye hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory or a picture? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Even so, it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Do you see the picture? Hagar was the servant of Abraham's wife, Sarah, and they were desperate to have kids. And Sarah asked Abraham to have Hagar and have kids with her. It's interesting, nowhere here and nowhere where it happens in Genesis is Hagar referred to the wife of adultery. Their relationship is not referred to as fornication, which it would be if he went with someone that wasn't his wife, which he did. The focus of Scripture is not on the sin of adultery. The focus of Scripture is in that they were not trusting in Christ. God had promised them children. God had promised him children as many as the stars, descendants as many as the stars. God had promised them all the land that they were walking through in Canaan. God had promised them that. Therefore, if you're promised that your descendants will inhabit this land in which you're dwelling in, you're going to have kids, right? You can't have descendants without having children. Is everyone clear on that? Therefore, there will be children. The focus was not that Abraham went with someone that was not his wife. Fornication, adultery. The focus is that he didn't trust in God. Sarah didn't trust in God. God had promised four times before he went with Hagar. Four times that I could see, it might be more. By the time he came out of where he had lived previously to the time that he went with Hagar, at least four promises that he would have descendants or children. The focus of Scripture is that they trusted in themselves. Oh, I've got an idea, husband. Why don't you have my servant lady and have children with her? Then we can have children. They're trusting in their self. They're trusting in their flesh, their own way of solving a problem, rather than trusting in God, who had promised to give them children. And this is the issue of trusting the flesh. When we trust the flesh, we're trusting in something that is not God. And just like for salvation, if I'm trusting in Christ and something else, I'm not really trusting entirely in Christ. And if I think that I can work out the solution to this problem in my life, or this need that I feel like I have in my life, then I'm saying that what God has given me so far is not enough. And I'm trusting in myself. What do you trust in yourself for? Now here, it's referred to as, yes, they're trusting in flesh. And in our sex-mad society, when a guy goes with someone that's not his wife, yeah, we call that fleshly. And it's lust. It's a fleshly thing to do. But in this case, seemingly, it wasn't about the sex. It wasn't about this woman in and of herself. It was what would come from their relationship, the possibility of children. So in our society, we would think, oh, he can't control himself. He can't control his flesh. He has these desires for women that are not his wife. That's fleshly, and that is fleshly. But in this case, strangely, that is not his problem. His flesh is not saying, oh, let's have extra wives. His flesh is not saying, let's go behind my wife's back. His flesh is not saying these things that people in our society would be thinking would be. No, he's saying, I can solve this my way and get a different wife. And then I'll have descendants. And actually, at 99, when Sarah was a mother, she even says in Genesis, who would have thought that Sarah would have, who was childless, would give milk to a child? Who would have thought? I'll tell you who would have thought. Somebody that trusted in Almighty God to provide all their needs. And when you trust in your flesh, you're saying that your God is inadequate, that Christ isn't enough. Who would have thought? I'll tell you who would have thought. Somebody that would be on their knees saying, God, I'm really old. People this age don't have children, but you've told me I will have children, and I trust you. Because God will provide all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Your riches are trash compared to God. God can provide everything you need. You can provide other stuff. But it might as well be what the guy in the corner was selling the guy in the illustration. Might as well be illegal drugs, what you can provide, your life and your wisdom that you can bring to yourself compared to what God can provide for you. In the New Testament, when John the Baptist was about to appear on the scene, do you remember what the angel said to John's father? God has heard your prayers. He was still praying for children. And they were both, like Abraham and Sarah, well beyond the years of having children. God has heard your prayers and your wife Elizabeth will have a child this time next year. Both couples, well beyond when couples have children. One couple trusting in God, one couple trusting in self. Who would have thought? When we live with fleshly lives, living how we want, making choices about the present instead of trusting God to provide when he needs, we're living a life of bondage. We are not free to do what's right. We're free only to do what self comes up with as a good idea. You say, oh, it's easy for you to say, trust God. It is. But I wasn't always Pastor O. I can only trust God today because I've seen him work in my life in the years past. And then I could only trust him because I'd seen him work in the years before that. And I'd seen how he worked, so I could trust him. Some of you have seen God work in your life. You know that you could trust him for those things. So why can't you trust him for tomorrow? So yeah, it's easy for me to say now that you can trust God because I know him. I've walked with him. I know you can trust him. But 27 years ago, I didn't know him. I couldn't have told you Abraham's wife's name. Maybe you guessed Leah. I don't know. I didn't grow up in a home where trusting God was normal, where walking with God was normal. But now I know I can trust him because along the way I've seen God work and you can trust him. And if you do, you'll see him work. And then you'll know you can trust him for more and bigger things. And the more you trust him, the easier it is to trust him. Because you've seen him come through in all these other things. And that's why it says here in verse 1 of chapter 5, stand fast. So just quickly, the first main point is stand in the Spirit. Stand, live, carry on in the liberty that Christ has given you. Liberty doesn't mean liberty to live how you want. That's fleshly. Liberty means that deny myself so that I stay at liberty. On release, the guy from prison, the calendar ticks over and he's released from prison. He doesn't now have the liberty to turn around and shoot the guys that held him captive. Does he? So we understand that liberty means you can't do some things, right? So then, but that's him, right? Liberty doesn't mean I can't do some things, does it? Or does it? The whole idea of liberty is there are some things that you're free to do and there's some things that you're very much not free to do. That is actually liberty. So this Bible concept is no different to how we think anyway. It's just, we don't like the fact that we're only at liberty to do what God wants because we don't trust him. Like Abraham and Sarah. If you don't like the concept that if I trust in my flesh, I'm going against God, but if I trust in God, I don't know if I can trust him. If you don't like that concept, you've got a problem with the whole idea of liberty. You've got a problem with just the fact that who's God in your life? How do you understand God? And verse 1 of chapter 5 says, that will entangle you again and put you in a yoke of bondage. Some of you are entangled in bondage to wicked thought lives. Some of you are entangled by emotions that you refuse to pull into control. Or choose not to pull into control. Some of you are entangled by a filthy browsing history. And when we let our lives go unchecked, we are actually not at liberty to click that website and feel this way and act this way. No, we're in bondage. and we're living in the flesh, and we're not standing in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Verse 16 of chapter 5, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Stand in the Spirit. Secondly, stay in the Spirit. Stay. Go on from here in the Spirit's control. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If Abraham and Sarah had been walking in the Spirit, they would have waited for God's provision. They would have waited for God. He had said that he would. They should have believed and trusted in him. But when we don't wait on God, when we're not staying in the Spirit, we're in the dungeon. The dungeon of self, the dungeon of flesh. And we need to be liberated. We have been liberated. The Spirit of God that dwells within you as a Christian has liberated you from having to follow the fleshly desires. You have another choice. So go with the other option. Be liberated. Live liberated. Walk in the Spirit. And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Stay in the Spirit's control. The idea of fulfilling the lust of the flesh, or fulfilling the Spirit's leading, is the idea of following the commands of somebody. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill. That word fulfill is to follow out the commands that somebody gives you. Now the problem is, we're following the commands of our enemy when we follow the flesh. We don't want to follow enemy commands. Enemy commands on any battlefield lead to disaster. If the flesh is our enemy, the enemy of the Spirit, we ought to be following the Spirit's commands, because if the flesh is giving the commands but they're the enemy, then the Spirit is headquarters. That's who's giving our side's commands. We need to follow those. And when we're following the Spirit, we're no longer tempted to look at what we shouldn't be looking at, or go where we shouldn't be going. When we're following the Spirit's commands, we're not tempted to talk like we wanted to previously, or act the way that we used to, which takes us back finally to that Old Testament analogy. Back in chapter 4 and verse 30. "Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman." We're to stand in the Spirit. We're to stay in the Spirit, but we are to separate in the Spirit as well. It's actually Sarah that says this in the Genesis account: cast out the bondwoman. But here God turns it around and uses Paul to say it to Christians: cast out the bondwoman. Who was the bondwoman? Hagar. What did she represent? What did Hagar represent? The flesh. Cast out the flesh and her son. Hagar and Ishmael became Sarah and Isaac's enemies. Ishmael, verse 29, even here in our text, tells us Ishmael persecuted Isaac. Now, did Abraham want to throw them out? No. But it took the spirit, Sarah, to say to self, Abraham, cast them out. They're causing problems. They have become our enemies. And to you, Christian, I say, you have an enemy dwelling within you. It's called the flesh. It's giving you enemy commands. Don't follow those commands. Cast it out. Cast out the bomb woman and her son. Cast out the flesh and the other little triggers that trigger your flesh. Get rid of them. There are things in your life that trigger your flesh, that feed your flesh. They're not sinful in and of themselves, but they trigger you to act more fleshly, and they build up to the point that you're back in the flesh again. You cannot stand in the spirit or stay in the spirit if your flesh is in control. Ishmael didn't cause Abraham's sin. Ishmael was the result of his sin. And there are things in your life that are not the flesh, that you do that are the result of your flesh. They are not sinful. They might be prideful. They might be self-congratulatory. They might be just stuff you look up. Sports scores. Could be anything. But they are things that in and of themselves are not sinful, but they feed your flesh. And then you wonder, why do I struggle so often to get rid of these sinful things in my life? It's because you're feeding your flesh with all these other little things that trigger and build up and strengthen your flesh. And so the flesh seems more powerful than the Spirit of God. These things inhibit the spirit. They make it difficult to follow the spirit. And yet God says that in Christ we are at liberty to follow the spirit. The reason we don't follow the spirit is because we're listening to the flesh. The reason we listen to the flesh so often is because we've got all these other little Ishmael things that feed our flesh and strengthen our flesh, that make it seem like the flesh is stronger than the Spirit of Almighty God. Perhaps there's something that triggers you emotionally and the flesh takes over. Where's the Spirit of God in that? Where is the Spirit of God in that? Stand fast in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Cast out the fleshly things that trigger you so that you can obey the Spirit of God that is in you if you're a child of God. And as we close, verse 31, so then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Once the heir is the inheritor, heir, he's grown. He's no longer a servant. And verse 30 into 31 refers to, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. There's no competition. Yes, the free woman's son is younger, but the other one, the son of the flesh, he's not heir. He's not the inheritor. And yet some of us live in the flesh's control, as if Ishmael is going to inherit our whole lives. But we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Christ has liberated us from being servants of the flesh. But who are you serving? Are you serving self? Are there things in your life that feed your flesh? Maybe routines. Maybe attitudes. Maybe habits. Maybe things that we read about. They're just feeding our fleshly desires. Loose him. Loose him. Loose the Spirit of God in your life. Let him lead you. You'll loose him if you stop feeding the flesh. So have every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for your attention this morning. Give you a moment to respond to God's word. Are there things in your life that you're not trusting God about? That you're trusting in yourself about? You're either writing on that decisions page in the back of your booklet if there's something that God wants you to deal with, or you've got your head bowed and eyes closed, please. Maybe there's something that you're not willing to trust God about. And you're trying to solve the problem in your own way. It's not going to work. Cast out the bondwoman. Get rid of trusting in self and start trusting in God. Maybe you've been struggling with this whole idea of letting somebody else lead your life rather than trusting yourself. So pray for me. I struggle with that concept, that I'm safer to not trust in myself and my own ideas. Pray for me. So anybody would put their hand up and say, yeah, pray for me. I'm struggling with this idea that I can actually trust someone other than myself. Yeah, thank you. Anyone else? Yeah. Thank you for your honesty. Yep. That you can trust God. Thank you. Yep. Maybe you're saying, there are some things in my life that are fleshly, and I've been letting them lead my life. I've been letting them control what I do, and I hadn't really thought about how much they have been changing me and leading me astray. So pray for me that I would cast out the bondwoman. Yeah, thank you. Anyone else? Yep. There are some fleshly things in my life that I hadn't really thought about it, but they're really leading my life. Pray for me. Anyone else? Yeah, thank you. Yep. And maybe there's some little things, some Ishmaels in your life that perhaps are also feeding the fleshly desires in your life. Pray for me. There are some things in my life that are not sinful in and of themselves, but I know that they're feeding my flesh and making it difficult to obey the Spirit. Yep. Thank you. Anyone else? Yep. Thank you. Pray that I have the boldness to deal with those things. Anyone else? Yep. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the liberty that you give us in Christ. And yet, Father, so often we forget to trust you. And we start to lean upon our own understanding and our own thoughts. Father, I pray that you'd forgive us. Lord, for these that have indicated areas that need to be changed in their life, Lord, I pray that you'd give them understanding to know how to bring about those changes. Give them humility to do so. For others, Lord, that are resisting your leading in their life, Lord, humble them even today. That they wouldn't trust in self, but they would trust in thyself, Lord. Please bless, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, thank you for your attention. We're going to move in a moment into the morning tea time, and from there we'll go to our morning activity, which this morning will be double dare. We'll do it over in the shelter area all together. That'll be at 10:30. Right now it's morning tea time, so you can leave your Bibles and your booklets here, and because we'll be back here before lunch. Before lunch. And yes? Yes. Yes. Yep. I missed that last bit. Oh, yes. Yeah, but we will take the chairs from the dining area, not from here, because it'll be quicker to bring them back and put them under the tables. So yeah, you can leave your Bibles, your booklets here on your chair, because we'll be back here before lunch. We'll go to morning tea, but then afterwards, please come back inside, take one chair from the dining area, and take it down to the double dare, please. Thank you very much. If you need to see a leader about anything, now's a good time. Thank you.